Well, good morning. It's great to see you. Great to be back with you and so excited about what God's doing with us as we continue this road trip series. We've had a great time for the last 3 weeks. If you've been regularly attending, you know that our campus pastors have been on a road trip. They've been making their way from campus to campus and sharing their story because stories are important parts of our road trip. And now we're kind of rebooting and moving into the second of three parts that we're going to be working through during this series. And so you saw a little refresh on our bumper, and we're excited about where God's taken us, excited about where He's going to take you. And thank you for allowing our campus pastors to be a part of this journey with us. And thank you for letting me take a few weeks to write. I've been writing. I'm actually writing two books simultaneously, which is kind of dumb. You don't write a book for 50-something years, and then all of a sudden you try to write two. But that's just kind of the way it all worked out. So I've been writing, and you'll be seeing some of that coming out soon, end of the year and then early next year. But thank you for that time away. It's been fun. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm discovering a lot. And so we've got a lot of things going on. So make sure you're staying connected to everything. We're excited. Want to welcome Seminole and downtown. Thank you for giving up your campus pastors for a few weeks as they made their way around. They did a great job. And thank you, Seminole. Last week, they helped serve at the triathlon in Seminole last week. Great job on that. Thank you for getting out in your community. And yesterday, we went on a road trip to the Rays game and brought home a victory against the Houston Astros. So we had a great time there. I encourage you to get the app, follow all the different things that are going on. We have some special things coming. We have a serve day coming up where you're going to have an opportunity to serve all over our community. I said, I think they told me there was something like between 35 and 50 different serve opportunities that you can have. And so get your friends, your family, your small groups together and come out and help us serve on that. That's on the app. And also we have a beach baptism on the 29th of July. Out at Fort DeSoto, we're gonna have food and just bring all of our campuses together, kinds of fun games. We're gonna just basically take over Fort DeSoto. So make plans on that and just follow along in the app of all the things that are going on there. And one exciting thing that's happening this week is our high schoolers are at Camp Cherokee. They actually are right now at Buckhead Church in Atlanta, worshiping there. And about 200 of them left yesterday. And then 200 plus more will leave next week with our middle school camp. It's the largest middle school camp we've ever done and the largest high school camp we've ever done. And so our teams, we've got a setup team that's already up there. Other folks will be coming up, and I'll actually be flying out after this service. So shout out to our 12:30 and 6 service. You're watching me on the flat screen. I'm actually flying to Camp Cherokee and going to be spending some time with them. Then I'll fly back next week and then turn around and fly back up again. And so it's kind of a fun, crazy time. But encourage you to continue to pray for our students. So many cool things happening in that area. And one way you can do that is when you leave today, we actually have a card with all the names, the first names of every kid that's going to camp, high school, middle school, as well as all of our staff. So if you would just pick up one of these cards at the information counter, they'll be setting out there so that you can grab those, pray for those, put it on your refrigerator. We'll have those for the next couple of weeks. They're on all of our campuses. Make sure you're praying for our leaders, praying for our kids as they go on this great road trip, that God would do some great things in their lives. And we've been giving you all kinds of tools. Michael already told you, stop up at all of your information areas all here at this campus, the mezzanine, downtown, down in that lobby area, as well as in Seminole in the lobby. We have all kinds of great resources. I want to point you to one that's really, really good. I'm a reader. I read a lot, and so I encourage people to read. And some of you say, well, I never read anything. You need to start, right? Reading is great. It's a great resource. We got lots of tools, and I'm still a guy that likes to hold books, still like to hold them in my hand, mark them. I don't like all that Kindle stuff. I like to actually hold a book in my hand. And this is a great book to help you along the way. Billy Graham, one of the most iconic spiritual leaders that we've ever had in our world. In 2006, he wrote a book called The Journey, a great companion piece for you as you take road trips this summer, as you take a spiritual road trip with us. Really encourage you to get this book, a life-changing book. As a matter of fact, I was reading earlier kind of in his preface. He wrote these words. He says, you can't change the past. Whatever has happened in your life so far, both good and bad, cannot be altered. All the decisions, the events that you've made, what you do, they're indelibly inscribed in the story of your life. We've been talking a lot about stories. God wants to write a story in you, and our past is a part of that story. He says, but with God's help, you can change the future. And that's what this book is all about. The future doesn't need to be a copy of the past, nor does God want it to be. No matter what your life has been like so far, God wants to put your feet on a new path, a better path, His path. And so that's a great resource. I encourage you to pick that up. Use it as a tool in your life. You can get it at all of our Gear Up areas, or you can pick up a copy on your own, as well as some other great resources. Now, one of the resources we've been using as we've been doing this series is this passage of Scripture that we find in Matthew chapter 11 that we read from the Message, and we've been talking about this, kind of breaking it down and kind of looking at specific parts of it. Jesus is talking here. He's talking to a group of people. They're somewhat jaded, right? They got their arms crossed, kind of like some of you have right now, right? Yeah, some of you kind of sitting like, okay, what you got, dude, right? All right, because I see you're kind of indifferent, and that's what these people were. They were struggling. They weren't very excited about what's happening. They're just kind of stepping back, and he looks at him. He says, are you tired? You worn out? Are you burned out on religion? By the way, I burned out on religion a long time ago, okay? And that's not what we're about here, about a relationship. And he's talking to people that I can identify with, burned out, kind of worn out, burned out on religion. He says, come to me. Get away with me. That's what a road trip is. It's getting away. Our students are getting away this week. We take them 12 hours into East Tennessee, literally in the middle of the Cherokee National Forest, where there's no cell service, there's no computers, there's no TVs, there's no telephones. They completely shut down and they get away. He says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. Wouldn't you like to recover your life? Wouldn't you like to find the life that you were meant for? That's what Jesus is talking about. He goes on and says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. See, we think we rest, don't we? But we really don't. We really don't rest. We go on vacation, and then we have to have a vacation from our vacation, right, because we're so busy. He says, let me show you how to have a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Follow me. That's what he's saying. Learn unforced rhythms of grace. Listen, God doesn't want to force anything on you. We kind of think God is this guy that just wants to force things on it, dictate our lives. He's kind of a judge and jury. No, not at all. He wants to provide for you grace, a rhythm of grace. He goes on and says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. How many of you have ever been to a tailor? Like had somebody tailor an outfit for you? When you get that outfit, it fits. Right? It's not off the rack. See, Jesus is saying, I'm not giving you an off the rack life. I want to give you a tailored life, a life that fits you perfect. I don't want you to have anything that's ill-fitting. I want it to be comfortable. He says, keep company with me and you'll learn to live, really important words, freely and lightly. So we've been looking at this verse, and we've been looking at it in the Message because it just reads so well. But I want to look at it in a different version of the Bible, a more traditional approach to it. Check out what it says in the ESV. Jesus again is talking. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, using the metaphor of a yoke, an oxen that is tied together, pulling equally. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your, notice this word, souls. See, one thing I've discovered as I've been writing is that writing is a soulish thing, right? Because here's the deal. I started out, I tried to write from my head. And I realized there wasn't anything in there that was worth writing. And nobody would ever want to read it. So I said, okay, well, then maybe I need to write from my heart. But then that got messy, right? Because my heart's messy. And I started looking, maybe I need to write from my soul, my core, who I really am. Writing is a soulless thing. And what Jesus wants to give you rest for is your soul. Because if your soul finds rest, then guess what happens? Your mind finds rest, you find physical rest, you find spiritual rest, you find relational rest. It starts in the soul. Why? Because you are souls. That's who you are. and he wants you to find rest. He goes on, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Your yoke, it's hard. Your yoke is very heavy. Mine, it's easy. Mine, it's light. So let me take you back to the first verse, verse 28. And I want you to notice what he says there. He says, come to me all who are labored and heavy laden. Now, that's an interesting word, right? Or set of words. Heavy laden. What does it mean to be heavy laden? Maybe when you see that, you picture somebody carrying a big load on their back, a heavy backpacker, or dragging something heavy behind them. So I was trying to think of a picture, and I remember that this story in 1986, there was a garbage strike in Philadelphia. Anybody from Philly? All right. I got some Philly people here. There was a garbage strike in 1986. It lasted for quite a while, and they accumulated a massive amount of garbage. Now, you can understand, Philly's a big city, very metropolitan, and that entire area, lots of garbage produced, and as a result, they tried to get rid of it. They were trying to figure out, how do we get rid of this tons and tons of garbage? And so they literally tried to pawn it off on other states. They went to the state of Georgia and said, hey, you got a lot of space. Why don't you take this garbage? They said, no, you keep your own garbage. They went to the state of Ohio. Ohio said no. They went kind of all over the United States. Everybody said, no, we don't want your garbage. So they decided they needed to incinerate it. All right, so they burned all this garbage. The problem is that when you burn garbage, there's a byproduct of that, ash, right? They ended up with 28 million pounds of ash, and they didn't know what to do with it, because as they began to realize, the ash was full of all kinds of toxins, had all kinds of scrap and toxic materials in it, and nobody wanted it. They didn't know what to do with it. So what they did was they contracted this ship called the Pelicano, and they put 28 million pounds of ash on this ship. And they sent it out in the ocean, and they said, find a country that will take it. We'll pay them. So they sailed the Caribbean. They went to Costa Rica. Costa Rica said, we don't want your toxic ash. They went to Jamaica. Jamaica said, we don't want it. They went all over the Caribbean. Then they kind of expanded their search. They began to go along Central America and South America. Nobody wanted it. It's toxic. It's full of all kinds of stuff. We don't want your trash. So they ended up expanding their search. They went into Southeast Asia. They ended up, for 2 years, this ship sailed the oceans of the world trying to get rid of this trash. 2 years. They were only allowed to port long enough to refuel and put provisions on the ship, and then they had to go back out to sea. For 2 years, they carried around 28 million pounds of toxic ash. That's heavy laden. Am I right? But here's the deal. Some of you are just like that. For years, you've been carrying around toxic ash of your past, toxic waste of your life. And you're carrying it around, and you're burned out, you're done, you're worn out, and Jesus says, bring it to me. You've tried bringing it to everybody else, and nobody can deal with it. You've tried every counselor. You've tried every conversation. You've tried every friend. You've tried to dump it in secret places, but it keeps showing up, and you're walking around heavy laden. You're a Pelicano. The Pelicano actually changed its name 2 times, thinking they could sneak in as a different ship. To this day, nobody really knows what happened to that 28 million pounds of ash. As a matter of fact, they think it's at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. The Pelicano has been dismantled and is no longer exists. See, what you and I oftentimes do is spend our lives struggling, carrying around a bunch of ash. When Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And here's the byproduct of coming to me. He says, I will give you rest. You see that? Can you imagine the crew of the Pelicano after 2 years when they finally got to get off that boat? Can you imagine how free and light they felt? Feet on solid ground, no longer amongst a bunch of toxins, chasing an impossible process. They were free and light. Jesus says, come to me, dump all your stuff. I can help you. I want to help you. I'm going to talk a little more about that rest next week, so don't miss. So Jesus says, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there's an important part of this that you need to notice. Notice he says, come to me. Today I want to talk to you about who you're journeying with. We've been hearing stories. You've heard different stories happening from our campus pastors. I've been writing. That story will come out eventually. But the story is great. But what determines the story is the people you're doing the road trip with. Right? The road trip is determined by the people. And Jesus says, I want to be one of those people. I want to be the one you come to. I want to help write the story. He says, come to me with all of your stuff. Come to me with your hopes. Come to me with your dreams. Come to me if you're heavy. I can lighten it up for you. I can help you fulfill it. Come to me. Who are you on the trip with? As a matter of fact, I want you to think right now. If you could think of anybody to take a road trip with. All right, now don't think about your family, because those should be givens. You know, your siblings, your children. Maybe you don't want to go on a trip with your children. I don't know. But don't think about them. But think about anybody else. Who would you like to go on a road trip with? You got them? Turn to your neighbor and tell them who that is. Tell them who you'd like to go on a road trip with. All right? I mean, there's all kinds of examples, right? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Jesus wants to be one of those people. He said, come to me. I want to journey with you. I want to do life with you. Here's a big idea you need to know. When Jesus says, come to me, he's saying, believe in who I claim to be, therefore what I'm able to do for you. See, it comes down to, do you believe Jesus can lighten your load? Do you believe he can give you the freedom you're looking for? Do you believe he is who he said he is, and he can do what he said he can do? Jesus says, come to me. And you've got to decide. He's either the biggest liar in the history of the world, he's the craziest man that ever walked the face of the earth, or he's actually who he said he was, and therefore can do what he says he can do. You got to decide that. It comes down to belief. And if you believe Jesus is who he said he is and can do what he says he do, then you need to get him in the road trip with you. You need to get him on board with you. But there's another big idea that you need to know. Jesus wants our souls resting on the surety that he will keep his promises to us in the best way and in the best time. You got to be sure of that. How sure of you are you? Seriously, check your surety gauge. How sure are you? Enough to bank your life on it? Enough to let go and release yourself into this vision of what Jesus has for your life? Are you sure? And if you are sure, then are you inviting him to join you on the trip? Are you inviting him to be a part of who he is? What Jesus is saying, I want you to release all of this stuff to me. Check out this verse. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. See, the Pelicano was trying to dump all this ash. They were trying to release it. Jesus says, bring me all your ash and just dump it on me because I care about you. I care about your life. I care about your future. I care about you. But you've got to decide whether or not you believe that. Believe it enough to trust him. Believe enough to claim this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Your path towards what? The destination. See, it's about a story. It's about who's in the trip with you, and it's about where you're going. There's a destination that we want you to discover. And Jesus is the one that can get you there. You might accidentally bump into something from time to time. But Jesus is something you can be sure of. And that's what he wants you to rest. That's the rest you're looking for. But the key, guys, is this. Who are you doing your road trip with? Because that's super important. As a matter of fact, grab this thought. Jesus' invitation for us is to come to him and find rest. That's the invitation. It is not intended to be done in isolation, though. See, this isn't a solo thing. Some of you are watching me online right now because you're afraid to come here. It's not that scary. Some of these people are a little weird, but the rest of us are pretty normal. You're not meant to do life in isolation. You're meant to do it in relationship with others. He intends for us to come to him in community, to come together. We value that. It's on our wall outside of this campus. It's on all the values. We talk about it when people come to us. Hey, we're better together. You're better together. And that's Jesus' invitation, is to discover that better. Right? And he wants better for you than you want for you. He wants you to discover that better. So if that's true, then this scripture is very important. Let us then consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. You need to be here. See, some of you come if nothing else is going on. If I don't get a better invitation, I'll go to church. Listen to me, this is the best invitation you have, because this is an invitation to life and life abundant and life full. And that's the invitation you need to receive. There ain't nothing better on this earth. I promise you that. Amen. And Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to discover that. And I want you to discover it together, encouraging each other, supporting each other. You're not meant to do this alone. And if that's true, then this verse is important to you as well. Hebrews chapter 3. He says, so watch your step then. He says, watch your step, friends. Make sure there's no evil unbelief lying around that will trip you up. See, if you've got people on the road trip with you that are not equally yoked with you, you're liable to find some confusion. You're going to get tripped up, and it'll throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. So who do you have up close to you? He goes on, for as long as it is still God's today, keep each other on your toes. That's what we do for each other. So sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. Some of you are sluggish. And that's why you get off balance. You get knocked out of whack because you don't have a balance in your life. Listen to me. These people around you, a church, the body of Christ, we bring balance to each other. We bring support. When I'm weak, I lean on other people. When they're weak, they lean on me. Together, we can do so much more. It's called synergy. He says, don't get sluggish. If we can only keep our grip on the sure thing we started out with, we're in this with Christ. Now, notice what he says. You're in this with Christ for the long haul. You get that a lot of you are just looking short. You're just trying to get through today, right? Let's just face it. I mean, let's be if we're really real. I'm just trying to survive today, Tim. If I can get through the next week, next month, woo, everything else is going to be great. Right? We think short. Listen to me. Stop thinking short. Stop sacrificing the long for the short. Think long. Jesus is in this with me for a long haul. Road trips are a long haul. We told our students yesterday, hey, you're about to get on a bus for 12 hours with 200 people. Don't mess it up in the first 5 minutes. Let us at least get out of town before you screw it up. Think long. Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Super important. And you need to check who you're doing life with and seeing if they're doing that for you, if they're diverting, if they're messing you up, if they're keeping you short-sighted instead of you discovering what God wants for you. Listen to me. Listen, check this out. Lean into this. Everybody lean in. Who you're doing the trip with will determine the trip. Let me say it this way. Show me who you're on a road trip with and I'll show you your destination. So I want you to think. Who's in the car with you? Metaphorically, right? Life. Who are you right up next to? Who are you allowing to be right up next to you? Think about it. I'm talking about your five closest people. Are they toxic? Are they the heavy weight that you're carrying? Are they helping you to find and discover the destination that you can have in your life? Or are they weighing you down? Show me who you're letting right up next to you, and I'm going to show you where you end up. Show me your five closest friends, and I'll show you your future. Now, don't misunderstand. Jesus told us to go and make a difference in the world, right? He told us to go out in the world and reach the world for him. So we have interaction with people who are far from God. But who are you allowing to be right up next to you to influence your life? Show me those people. Make an appointment with me. Sit down and tell me the five. Give me their bio and I'll show you where you're going to end up. It's just true. It's just true. Because they have a huge influence on your life and therefore the direction of your life. Two very important words about their influence, okay? Powerful and subtle. They have a powerful influence, but they also have a subtle influence on you. It's very subtle. Before you know it, it knocks you off course, though. Right at the initial point, it's not that big a deal, but you extrapolate out over a lifetime of decision-making, and where are you, right? It's kind of like golf. I love golf, right? At the point of impact, a golf club hitting a golf ball, if it's just a millimeter off, just a fraction off, you say, that's not a big deal until you extrapolate it out 300 yards down the fairway, and guess where you are? The woods. Not the tiger, the real woods. Right? And you can, how did I get here? It wasn't that big a deal. It really is. It's subtle. It's powerful. Who is right up next to you? Check out this scripture verse. Do not be misled, 1 Corinthians says. Paul says, bad company corrupts good character. Let me say it to you, the East Tennessee version. You ready? If you lie with dogs, you smell like them. Wow. Right? Who are you letting right up close to you? Who are you letting influence your life? Show me those people. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have people further out from there. I have a lot of very far from God friends. I just don't let them right up next to me. I don't want to do the road trip with them. I want those people that are going to help me. Those people who understand or are equally yoked with me. And I want Jesus to be the first amongst those. So how do you know if your friends are toxic? How do you know if they're the things that are holding you back, wearing you out, burdening your life? How do you know if they're the right people to invite on the trip with you? I'm going to give you three questions. You need to filter. I want you to think right now of your five closest influencers. Okay? Those people that you smell like. They're right up next to you. They're in the car with you. Think of those five people. You got them in your head? I want you to filter these questions through them. Here's the first one. Do they help you get closer to God? Now, see, here's the deal. They may be lost as last year's Easter eggs, all right? They may not know Jesus at all, but that doesn't mean that they're hurting you and keeping you from him. They actually may be helping you get closer to him. So don't discount the opportunity you have to connect with the people in the world. We're to be in the world, not of it, but in it, and connecting to it and reaching people. So don't get too narrow here, but understand this. If you are with people who are not helping you get closer to God, they're not from God. Period. Period. God would never put people in your trip, that close people that he wants you to spend time with, that would move you away from him. He would not do that. Second question, do they make you a better person? I can't tell you how many people come in my office and I'm really struggling. Well, who are you right up next to? Are you better because you're, no, I'm not better at all. Then why are they in the car with you? They're going to distract you. They're going to influence you. It's powerful. It's so. Do they make you a better person? Because here's the thing I know. God wants better for you. And he would never place anybody in your life. Now remember, those outer rings of relationships, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the people right here. Show me those and ask yourself, do they make me better? And then third, do others say yes to question one and two? See, because sometimes we get blinded. So what do we need to do? Seek the counsel of others. So all the people around you, are they looking at you and you're shaking your head like this and they're all going, no, 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 no. Now, it's not a perfect question, right? Because some people are just stupid, right? Some people just don't get it. But if the vast majority of your friends are looking at you and going, that does not make you better, then you need to ask yourself whether or not you need them on the road trip with you. Because you're going to a destination to become all that God wants you to be. Three very important questions. So think about your five closest friends, your influencers. Filter them through those questions. Because God wants you close to Him. God wants you better than you want to be better. And God wants to be on this trip with you through Jesus. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me first. And if you're heavy laden, if you're burned out, bring it to me. Dump the ash of your life, as toxic as you have made it. Just give it to me. And let's go on a trip towards becoming all that you can be in me. That's free. That's light. That's what He wants you to be. Let's pray together. So, Father, I come to you just so excited about this journey we're on. We're hearing stories of faith, stories where you have changed lives, removed doubt, dealt with questions, cleansed us of sin. We've seen life change happening in people all over the place. But, God, one thing that we neglect oftentimes is who we're doing life with. First of all, we do it apart from you, and we don't want to do that. You sent us, Jesus, to be life for us. And He asked us to join Him, to come to Him, and to invite Him to come with us. But also, God, we've got all these friends. And yes, this world is tough to navigate through. And it's tough to try to figure out who, what, where, and how. And God, you don't want us to separate ourselves, to live in a bubble. But you want us to be careful about who we're letting right up next to us. So today, Father, would you help us process that? Would you help us first to get away with Jesus and become the people He wants us to be? And then use that relationship to filter all the other relationships that we have. Help us to get it all in the right order. In Jesus' name, amen.